Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's my privilege to come today and share the gospel with you. And because a couple of weeks ago, I came here to share in Chinese. And because I'm old, I couldn't see the slide over there, the words, because of my poor sight, eyesight. So that's why today I bring my computers here. Oh, sorry. Okay, thank you. So I hope I can see much better. I just want to briefing my past experience in missions. So from 2002, I retired from my computer business, and I respond to the call from Christ. And thank you. And sorry. And then in 2005, I was sent to different. Since 2005, I was sent to different mission fields till 2019. And during this 15 years, I have been in three different mission fields. One is the Middle East, UAE. And the second term of my mission is to Vietnam. And after Vietnam, I thought, I'm done. I'm finished my mission. And coming back and thought I can be retired. But God never gave up. He called me again. And so in 2017, I all again being sent to Caribbean in three French islands. I think those islands are the name. I haven't heard it before. I think so do you. Guadeloupe, Martinique, any idea where it is? And also St. Martin. So St. Martin, I think a lot of people you know because the cruise ship will stop there, you know? And so after 2 years, I really retired and coming back in 2019. So, but after that, I still joined the CCACA. There's a program called MET Team. Anybody know about MET Team? MET, that's a M-A-T. It's Mission Assistant Team, which is a program that recruit a lot of retired, like us, missionary, or pastors. And so every year, we've been sent to different locations to help the mission field to grow their church, to help the church over there. So that's what I'm doing now. Early this year, we went to St. Martin again, and with Samisa, so we have a very good experience there together. So again, thank you for the church for inviting me to share the gospel with you this Mission Sunday. I believe many of you have heard a lot of message on mission in the past, over the years, right? as a member of CNMA, CNMA family, global mission should be one of the core values that should be faithfully embraced for both church leaders and also the congregation. But sadly, many churches today, missions are treated as an optional or even incidental. The Lord's Great Commission has not yet to take root, the deep root in every believer's heart. So today, the message I'm going to share as new creations in Christ, new mandate and trusting. So as chosen from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 to 20. Let us look at, the God's calling from a fresh perspective. And as the chair just read, that's from 17 to 18. Therefore, Paul just reminds us through this scripture. So if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciles us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So many believers rejoice at verse 17, celebrating their new life in Christ, right? But overlook verse 18. As a new creation, we are also entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20 said, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Christ commands those who are reborn in him to preach the gospel to all nations and reconcile people to God. So missions, therefore, are not optional. They are a divine assignment for every believer. In the scriptures, Paul. Paul teaches us that being a new creation in Christ comes with a renewed purpose. He highlights three essential qualities that motivate him to live out the new calling. The first one is always fear God. Always fear God. The second one, living out Christ's sacrificial love. The third one, courage to be an ambassador for Christ. So this is three qualities that a new creation should have. So Paul once persecuted the Church of Christ, but after he encountering the Lord face to face on the Damascus on the road of Damascus, his life was transformed. He became a new creation, and he understood that God has called him to do a new work, to be an ambassador of the gospel to the Gentiles. From that moment on, he faithfully preached the gospel until the end of his life. We also have been born again in Christ, right? I think most of you have been is a Christian already. So why would we not preach the gospel for the Lord? So let's take a look at the first one. The first quality that always fear God. Here's Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done." Why? In the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others what we are is pain to God, and I hope it is also pain to your conscience. So we all know, God is love, right? That's why we're so faithful and love God too. But we forgot one thing. He is also righteous and holy. Paul described our God as great and powerful. When his judgment and justice are revealed, they are truly fearsome. So a lot of passage saying that, telling us, indicate that. So like Revelation chapter 18, verse 8, that describes, "Therefore, as one day her pain will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine, she will be consumed by fire. For mighty is the Lord God who judges her." Paul reminds us in verse 10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is the place of ultimate accountability when the Lord returns. As those who have received new life in Christ, we are entrusted with the responsibility of persuading others to be reconciled to God. We are accountable to bear fruit, the soul. So those brought to salvation and to offer them before the Lord's altar. Luke 13, verse 7, 6 to 7. Jesus once told a parable about a man who planted a fig tree in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit, but found none. So he said to the caretaker, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Brothers and sisters, when we fail to bear fruit, it is often because we have lost our fear of God and forgotten that what he has commanded to us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16, "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Paul understood that one day when Christ returns, he must give an account and woe to him if he had nothing to offer. Brother and sister, you understand that? We have received salvation through Jesus Christ and have become new creations. So therefore, we must live a life, that life marked by fear of God. So when we do so, we will take seriously the mandate he has entrusted to us to bear fruit for him. John exhorts us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. So this is why we are not bearing fruit, because we lost the fear of God. The second quality is live out Christ's sacrificial love, which it's telling us verse 14 to 15. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all die. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. In Romans chapter 5, verse 7 to 8, Paul reminds us, Paul said, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The sacrificial love of Christ on the cross is the divine love that compels us to live out his love by preaching the gospel. In 1900, during the Boxers' Rebellion in China, 189 faithful missionaries and their family were martyred. These men and women, inspired by God's love, willingly went to China to proclaim the gospel, even though it ultimately cost them their lives. Their sacrifice was not in vain. It was a testimony to the power of Christ's love, a love that does not fear death, but embracing the obedience. Their legacy continues to bear fruit today. Horace Tracy Pickin, one of the missionaries martyred during the Boxer Rebellion. He was a graduate of Yale University Department of Law. During a summer camp, he responds to a Buddhist calling to dedicate his life to missions. 4 years later, he began his missionary journey with his newly wed wife, serving in North China. Tragically, Pekin lost his life and the Boxer's Rebellion. Yet, even in the face of death, he still hold firmly to the belief that the kingdom of God will still be established in China. So before his passing, he left a final instruction to his wife: raise their son to love God. And when he turned 25, send him back to China to complete the mission that his father had begun. So today, the Chinese people around the world continue to reap the blessing of the gospel. Blessing made possible by the faithful of foreign missionaries who compelled by the sacrificial love of Christ did not fear death. Their willingness to lay down their lives allow Christianity to take root in China. So, it is because of Christ's great love demonstrated on the cross, and we are now called children of God. We all know, this is entirely by his grace, right? And we are grateful. Yet, many believers stop at gratitude. We stop there. They acknowledge God's grace, but never move beyond appreciation to action. If we are and truly inspired by the love of Christ, we must respond. James reminds us in James chapter 2, verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not accompany by action, is dead. Same thing, love is also lifeless without action. Paul emphasized that if we are new creation in Christ, we must embrace the new mandate he has entrusted to us. May the Lord have mercy on us, and may his love compel us to live lives of mission, lives that proclaim the gospel with boldness, sacrifice, and joy. The third one, courage to be an ambassador for Christ. Verse 18 to 20. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God has reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal to us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In Luke chapter 2, we read that God sent angels to proclaim the good news, right? To proclaim the good news to the shepherds in the fields. So today, God could still send angels to preach the gospel, and perhaps they could do it more effectively than we ever could. Yet, in his grace, he has chosen to entrust this sacred mission to us. This calling is not reserved for pastors, missionaries alone. It gives to all who have been born again in Christ. So, therefore, every believer is called to be an ambassador for the gospel. It is our duty and privilege to proclaim the message, to reconcile the message of reconciliation to all nations. Why is that sometimes we hesitate to preach the gospel? Is it because we are afraid of being ridiculed, rejected, or losing faith? Yet, in the Great Commission, Jesus declared in Matthew 28:18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So we have no reason to fear, for we go forth with the authority of the power of Christ himself. Over the years, we have been sharing the gospel. We have encountered rejection, ridicule, insult, and even being kicked out from places like the workers' camps. But we are not discouraged. Instead, we pray for those who oppose us and wait patiently for God's timing. I recall one particular experience in the Middle East. We were ministering a labor camp housing over 800 workers. Some non-believers cursed us and forced us out of the camp. It seemed as though the door to share the gospel has been closed, but we did not give up. We drove around the camp several times, praying fervently and cry out to God for his mercy to reopen the door so that we could return and share the good news with the workers. And amazingly, God answered our prayers in an unexpected way. He opened the door and we were allowed to re-enter the camp. From that moment on, every meeting held there became a testimony of his grace. We witnessed workers coming to God, and one after another. This is the power of faithful obedience. We are not responsible for the results. God is. He responded, but we are responsible only to go, to speak, and to love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2-3, Paul encouraged us. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Paul also said in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Too often, we overlooked the truth. that sharing the gospel is a divine mandate entrusted to every new believer. Many still hold on to the outdated mindset that mission are solely the responsibility for pastor, missionary, or the church leaders. However, Paul reminds us, if I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I'm simply discharging the trust committed to me. Whether we embrace it or not, the ministry has been entrusted to us. So therefore, both believers and the church leaders must adopt a missional vision. Only then, excuse me, will the gospel be proclaimed throughout the world, paving the way for Christ's return. Today, many church leaders adopt a secular business management mindset to run their churches. Concepts like marketing segmentation are commonly used to measure the effectiveness of various ministry departments. This often influences church funds and resources are allocated. However, as we know, the fruit of mission work are not always immediate. For example, Robert Morrison spent 7 years and led only one person to Christ when he first came to China in early 19th century. Because of this belated visible impact, mission ministry are frequently overlooked, and financial support for mission remained minimal. Church leaders must refocus on what God has entrusted to the church, that is, missions. They should lead and with the faith and conviction, teaching and encouraging the believers to make faith-based commitment to missions. This includes engaging in short-term, mid-term, and long-term missions work, and actively participating in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. A church that values and prioritizes missions will always be blessed by God. So may God use the scriptures to help us live out the characteristic of the new creations. That's always fear God, living out Christ's sacrificial love, courage to be an ambassador for Christ, be an ambassador of the gospel for the Lord. I found this NCAC mission statement in your church website. I believe not too many brothers and sisters have read it before. So may I ask everyone to read it together? Now, just read the yellow paragraph. So let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. So pray that NCAC become a missional church and always be blessed by our Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we ask that you stir the heart of all brothers and sisters, transforming us into missional disciples. May NCAC Church become a truly missional church, filled with vision, purpose, and a deep commitment to your calling. Help us to work together in unity to carry out this new mandate you are entrusting to us. May we all become faithful messengers of the gospel, both near and far, giving our very best to you in all that we do. Let your names be glorified through our obedience, our dedication, and our love for the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.